Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 624. We're discussing appreciating your spouse's nature and the different natures of a husband and wife and appreciating them. And we're going to start off talking today about the Bini Yisera of a woman, her sixth sense that the Chazal say that Hashem created women with more Bini Yisera than men. This is from a Gemara Nida, Daf Mem Hei, on the base. Bina generally is a type of deeper understanding. We use a lashon lahavin davar mitach davar, to understand something within something else, which means very deep. In this sense, women being more intuitive than men, having that sixth sense of instinctively understanding people, foreseeing effects of various situations. And men generally make the decisions based on sound judgment when they take into account knowledge of details and possibilities. While when you ask a woman on the basis of her decision, often she will just say, this is what I feel that needs to be done. And very often she is actually on target and right. Many examples of this. Sometimes a wife would instinctively organize and decorate her home and arranging the living room. The husband would arrange it in a logical way, you know, based on available space, and the wife will say, your arrangement looks more like a storage room, it's not a living room. And the husband will ask her to explain what she means, and she just says, it just doesn't look like a living room. But she's right. Or, you know, when she asks her husband to purchase a few food items for a family breakfast, let's say, and he doesn't have a grocery list, he may deliberate, let's see, how much milk do I need, how much cheese do I need, how much bread I need, till he makes a decision. A wife instinctively chooses the correct amount of food, and in a matter of seconds, she's aware of it. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Amud Beis also says that women are more capable of recognizing character traits of guests. They could have a guest where, you know, certain friends and therefore they have guests for Shabbos, and then the husband turns to the wife and says, wouldn't your brother's friend over here be a perfect shidduch for your other friend or your sister or whatever? Do you agree? And she looks surprised. She says, they're not suited at all. Can't you see them miles apart? And the husband saying, what do you mean? They have so much in common. You saw how they, you know, they connected that, you know. And she says, I can't explain it, but they're not. And again, she's usually on target and right. A woman's Bini Yisera is also an invaluable asset in a role as a mother and as a husband. So husbands need to humble themselves, take it seriously, the advice of their wives, the opinion of their wives regarding Mili de Alma. This comes from Metzia Dachf Nuntes Amud Aleph, that for Mili de Alma, things pertaining to the world and things like that, household matters and other things, you trust your wife. She has that hidden asset to analyze situations and aspects. Even when a husband is considering a new position, a new job, or relocating to a new neighborhood, and he lists the pros and cons and comes to a conclusion that he believes is a correct choice, then his wife is, it seems to be, barely listening to you and doesn't really get all the details and simply says, this job is not for you, or this home is not suited for our family needs, or this neighborhood is not the right fit. What's very, very, very important here is not to discount it whatsoever. Doesn't mean you blindly follow, not necessarily, but you ask, you talk to a rav, you go through different things, but you take it seriously. Brachos Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis says that when Elazar ben Azariah, he was only 18, Hari Ani Kiven Shivim Shana, but he was 18 at the time, and he spoke to his wife before accepting the nasi position that was offered to him. So the Chazal talk a lot about the importance of listening to your wife's opinion. It's brought down in various midrashim and various aspects. And he brings Mekairis for this. So it's very, very important. Rav Shlomo Wolbo says that since women have the ability to recognize and understand strangers, she certainly has that gift of understanding her own husband. And for this reason, a husband and wife are the best for each other in spiritual growth, because they're more easily noticed, they see clearly what needs more improvement. So very often it seems like a negative thing when your wife seems critical and points out some negative aspects. And of course you need to do it with the tact and with the derech eretz, and that's on a woman to really work on that. But the bottom line is very often she speaks the truth. There's a truthful aspect there that needs to be worked on. Mother's intuition also helps her manage her family, discern the individual needs and wants of her children and her husband. She could sense something that's bothering her without being told, and she could use a sixth sense to give proper advice as they need it. A Bini Yaseir is a gift that enhances the marriage bond, and a husband needs to have a Karas HaTayi for that gift and utilize it as a positive tool. And again, you can't use Bini Yaseir just regarding halacha or major financial decisions or accept it blindly, but you have to take it seriously. Even though it seems illogical to you, recognize they have that chush and it's not to be taken lightly. The idea of Daitan Kalais, again, which we said this so many times, that it's misinterpreted often in a negative way. Daitan Kalais, you look at it and some people interpret it, oh, that means that they say that women are less intelligent than men in certain areas. Now, that is not so. For the very fact that we just talked in the last 6 minutes here about the Bini Yaseira of a woman, and to say that Chazal would turn it on the, you know, flip it on its head and say now they're less intelligent or less understanding is not the correct idea of what Daitan Kalis means. What it means is, in the general sense, and there could be many pshatim, but Rav Aaron Feldman talks about this as he explains it. Daitan Kalis means that the das can be changed easily. It's flexible. It's easily moved. Lighter objects to heavier objects, back to lighter objects. In other words, they have this ability, the capacity, it's a gift, to move from one activity to other with more ease than men generally do. That's why moving into a new home is more difficult for men than for women, because Daitan Kalis, their lighter das enables them to more easily adjust. So an example of this, a husband's offering to help his wife have a break Erev Shabbos to help her with household chores, okay? So this is what happens. In the first hour, he was asked to hold the baby, put him down so he could check out the roast in the oven, hold the baby again, bring him up, hold the baby down so he could start peeling potatoes, pick the baby up to calm his crying, put the baby down to continue peeling the potatoes, empty the overflowing garbage pail, again pick up the crying baby, clean up the mess caused by the unintentional overturning of the pail as he picked up the baby, and put some more pots on the stove. And 1 hour of this, he's at the virtual mental collapse and decides he can't bear this anymore. And he tells his wife he needs a break. And she's like looking at him like he's crazy. You need a break? You just did this for 1 hour. I do this all day long. What do you mean you need a break? So this is the idea of that managing, the multifaceted work that requires mental agility. That Daitan Kalis allows a woman to be flexible as she simultaneously juggles all these household chores where a man has difficulty with these interruptions and distractions. So that is an explanation of Daitan Kalis, the way Rav Aaron Feldman says it, and that's very, very on the ball and accurate. Another explanation of Daitan Kalis that Rav Nachum Diamond talks about is that it's the that concept that the emotion is over the rational dominance. That's what it is. That very often, Chassid Yaivetz says the same thing in his Pirish Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel Mishnah Chaf, that very often her logic is overpowered by her emotions. That's not necessarily a negative thing. To the contrary, it's often very much a positive thing. And because a woman's emotions are constantly changing, and therefore she could move in to lighter objects, to heavier ones, and vice versa, and the moods are in constant flux, which is a challenge, but it's also a gift in acclimating to life. And housekeeping, again, the same idea. It could be friction over there. She has that idea. You know, young girls, plays like mommy, tati type of dolls, carriages, and boys are basically smashing toys and racing toys and policemen, firemen. So you see, even from an early age, they have a different, the woman nurtures her nurturing side and the man his boy masculine side, even while playing. And you see, this is so true from what the Chazal bring deep, deep insights about the Avodas Perach in Mitzrayim, which is very hard to understand. Because he understood probably the psychological factors of that holds back men by having them do women's work and vice versa. And he ordered that. He ordered the men to do chores of their wives and the wives to replace their husbands. Now, we could understand Avodas Perach on the woman's perspective. If she is not used to hard physical manual labor, and she's forced to do the man's work of schlepping things and dragging things and carrying things, and Avodah, that's real Avodas Perach. That makes sense. But the question is the other way around. You know, you take a man that he would do outside heavy manual labor, and then you're telling him, okay, now you just need to work in the kitchen and do household holes and peel potatoes and do all these, whatever it is. It's not physically as difficult. So what is this Avodas Perach that we're talking about? But it is a certain emotional torture, mental torture. They don't have the emotional strength to do that. And that's why that Abarbanel, you look in Bereishis, Abarbanel is in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches in Abarbanel over there, that he says also that that's why men find it difficult to do household work. They find it stressful. They find it often agonizing. And they can find it very, very boring, and they don't get sipak nefesh from doing them. Of course, the husband has to overcome this and lend that helping hand. And stereotypically, sometimes it's reversed the other way around, not stereotypically, where you have sometimes where a man is very good at these type of things and the woman less so. But this is a general rule. The idea of neatness and orderly home. Again, it could be different in some cases. Some women are less in the neat, orderly ways, but very often she is. And she finds it hard to understand her husband's attitude of being less conscientious about it. Again, you could have the opposite sometimes where the husband is very meticulous about order and the wife not. But very often it's this way around. She is meticulously orderly and she is not. He is not. And, you know, the wife needs to basically figure out that the husband, being a single person in a dorm often or in a room, he never found it necessary to be neat. So he kept a disorderly room often growing up. Or his mother tied it up after him, whatever. But so he needs patience to adapt himself to this new lifestyle that he needs to be neat, like his wife wants him to be. Rabbi Levinitz says that he told his grandson before he was about to get married, you know, what advice he said, don't leave your socks on the floor near his bed after you remove it, put it where it's supposed to be. And even if a husband is neat and orderly, his logic will keep it in certain situations, you know, in a negative way. So, for example, he gives an example here. When you have a couple hurrying to get off to work in the morning, and just when the wife got to the front door, she looks and notices the breakfast dishes were still in the sink. And some of the laundry from yesterday was not folded yet. So she says to her husband, you know, let's take a few minutes now. Let's make the house look more presentable, you know, and please help me with it. You know, let's wash some of these dishes and fold some of this laundry. And he won't understand. He'll say, we're ready late. You know, what's the big deal? When we get home late this afternoon, we'll tidy it up. This is a pressure right now. So this is the those differences that come up often. A woman will check often if she left the house orderly because a neat home means a lot to her, whether people notice it or don't notice it. And the husband is concerned of getting to work on time, you know, all that idea, you know. Another idea is a husband's impatient and gets up from the dining room table. It's late. I have to run to Mincha. I'll be back in a half hour. He puts on a hat and jacket, and his wife looks at the table full of svarim and papers and says, before you go to Mincha, clean up first. My friend is coming to visit me, and she'll walk in, and the dining room looks like this with svarim all over the place and papers all over the place. So the husband explains patiently, you know, it took me an hour to set this up. Here's where we learn, and I'll be right back, and I'll need these svarim again. As soon as I come back, I'm going back to learn here. So it doesn't make sense to put it away and have to set them back up again. So then there's a tension here. He's using logic not to clean up the svarim now. I'm going to use it as soon as I come back from Mincha. And his logical reasoning is clashing with her emotional need for a presentable living room when her friend is coming over. So a husband needs to understand this, engage this, and not engage in rational arguments this way or that way, and be compassionate towards her need for this. So these are a couple of differences. We'll go through more of them, of the differences between a husband and wife in their natures that they have to learn to acclimate and respect and work through with each other. Bracha v'hatzlacha.